All right. Well, today I'm sharing with you a message that is similar to a message that I do around this time of year when we're preparing for the opportunity for baptism for people in our congregation to be baptized. And it's going to be somewhat similar. If you've been around here for a while, you will have seen some of the graphics that I use, and you'll go, oh yeah, he's done this message before. But and I have, for the most part. I'm adding a few little differences to, or emphasis to, what I'm sharing today. Partly, you know, I never find the ability to just go pull out an old message and just redo it. It's like, it's got to be a fresh word, and the Lord speaks new things, and so... So there'll be a few different things in the message, but when I'm talking about living with dying in baptism, you know, that sounds a little bit strange. And while I'm there, you'll notice the difference in the subtitle, living with dying, and that is dying as in dying something, a different color. And I'll explain that as we go. But they're both significant for the message today. And someone thought I just had a typo in there, didn't you? But anyway, Dale, yeah, he's Dale. The one who is always, he's good about that, in a good way. She thought it was a typo too, so anyway. Very good, and sometimes I just throw things in there to see if you guys are paying attention. See if you guys catch it or not, yeah, or if you're just sleeping through. Excuse me, not really. But the point, you know, I just wanted to bring up something about living with dying. You know, I remember as a high school student, I took a quarter-long English class called Living with Dying. And it's kind of like, what? You know, what's this? But, you know, I had to have so many electives. So I took this course, and there's basically what the intent was is to realize that, you know, dying is a part of life. And so we all need to learn how to live with the reality of our own death or the death of our friends, relatives, those kinds of things. It's a part of life. So it was called Living with Dying. The reason I remember that class so much is one of the days we went on a field trip to a funeral home, and we happened to come to the one here in Dodge Center. I'm not sure why not in West Concord where our school was. But anyway, we came to the funeral home in Dodge Center. It was very convenient that we had done it that day. Because that morning as I got off the bus driver said to me when he delivered me at school, he said, you can find a different way home tonight. Excuse me. The reason he had said that was because I deserved it. He was on the morning route that day, and I've kind of shared this in a small portion because he's been one of the Gideons that has come to share. He was our he was my bus driver at that time, Howard Matty, and for whatever reason, he had chosen to apply the brakes very quickly, and that was back in the day where the bus backs of the bus seat was not all padded and everything like they are now. They were metal. How many of you remember metal bus seats? Okay, now you're dating yourself. All right, so anyway, he had applied the brakes extra hard for whatever reason, and one of the students in the back who was sitting, you know, kind of across and up from me, went bang with his head on the metal seat. I go, you know, and so I just made this smart comment like, what are you doing out there? Or something like that. I can't remember exactly what I said. But anyway, for my lack of respect to him, he said, you can find your own way home tonight. And so while we were here in Dodge Center, I asked our English teacher, I said, you know, would you mind dropping me off at my home? It's right on the way, and then I could pick up my car because I need a different way home tonight. So she, sure, she said. So she dropped me off. I went in and explained to my folks, I don't know if I explained completely, but I said, you know, I need the car. So the teacher dropped me off, and I took the car up to school then and found my own way home that night. So that's why I remember that class so much, because anyway, has nothing to do with the message, but... I don't know. I'm not going to say anything more bad about bus driver because what I sow, I reap. And now that I'm a bus driver, I have much more patience and respect for them. So here we go. Anyway, living with dying. First of all, let's start with Jesus speaking to his disciples. And again, living with dying in baptism. And what are we talking about when we're saying living with dying in baptism? We'll get there in a bit. But I want to just initiate things with Jesus and his word to the disciples when he gave them the Great Commission. And I'll be doing this both for Matthew and for Mark. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. And let me just say this. If there's anyone that's listening to this by CD or online, you're going to want to try and download the PowerPoints, because when I'm talking about dying, there's sometimes when I'm using the word D-Y-E-I-N-G, dying as in dying something a different color. And when I make, it'll be hard to distinguish that by just me speaking, because dying and dying sound the same. You can't tell them unless you see it. So I'll just encourage you to go ahead and download the sermon notes from the PowerPoints file as well. So Matthew chapter 28, and why did I turn to Luke? Okay, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 says this: "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this: I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said for them to go and make disciples. They were to give what they had been given, and they were to transfer that to others. But a significant part of that was the baptizing them. What was that all about? And then in Mark chapter 16, Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16 says this: "Then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned." You know, one thing that I just want to point out here is that when people say, you know, if God was really a loving God, he would not send anyone to hell. God does not send anyone to hell. We choose. Right there it says, anyone who has believed and has been baptized will be saved. Anyone who, as it says here in this translation, anyone who refuses to believe, that's the only act that would send one to hell, is refusing to believe. God has made the way possible. There is no one that he sends to hell. People choose for themselves by refusing to believe. Refusing to believe what is absolutely so obvious. I mean, in Romans chapter 1, it talks about how God has revealed himself even through nature, so no one is without excuse. But it says that people suppress the truth. In other words, they see it, it's obvious to them, but they suppress the truth, they deny the truth, they refuse the truth, and in doing that, they condemn themselves. God does not send anyone to hell. And so, but anyway, in this point, it says, go into the world and preach the gospel or the good news, and anyone who has believed and been baptized shall be saved. So what's this all about, being baptized and being saved? Is baptism what saves you? Ooh, well, it kind of sounds that way to hear, doesn't it? Well, let me talk to you about, we'll get there in just a bit, but let me talk to you about the baptism that saves you. First of all, let's look at the Greek word. You guys who are in the Accurate Handlers class will appreciate this. This is directly from the Strong's Concordance and Hebrew and Greek dictionary. And it's actually, I don't forget what number it is. I didn't put the number here. But it's from the Greek word, baptism comes from the Greek word bapto. And this is taken right out of the dictionary's definition. It means, or it is primarily a verb which means to whelm. Everyone say whelm. Okay. Have you ever heard of being overwhelmed? Yeah. Underwhelmed? You can be underwhelmed. Oh, my expectations were not, you can be underwhelmed, okay. But to be whelmed, it's described here, means to whelm, means in example, okay? I.e. means in example, to cover wholly with a fluid. And so, you know, we're familiar with that, with water baptism, to be covered wholly with a fluid. And in the New Testament, only in a qualified or specific sense, in example, literally, to moisten a part of one's person, or by implication, to stain as with a dye. And then it's translated dip, all right? So you can see where I'm getting to with the dye part, the D-Y-E part, dyeing part. as that is was used in common language. We'll get there just in just a little bit. But remember, it's talking about being whelmed. That's what baptism means, to be whelmed, to be completely covered. Now, that happens in a variety of ways. With water, it means to be whelmed with water or completely covered with water. There are other types of baptisms that we will see. In fact, we'll talk about the baptism that saves you, and it's not whelmed with water, it's whelmed with something else. We'll see that in just a bit. But let me share with you about how baptism, or that word baptize, or Greek word bapto, was used in common language. It meant the dyeing of a garment by submerging it in the color dye. And its intent was to change the nature of the garment. In other words, okay, if any of you have ever tie-dyed a t-shirt, you start with a white shirt, don't you? Because the different colors look so much better than starting with a black t-shirt. So start with a white t-shirt, and your intent is to make that look different than what it is. And so you tie it all up in knots and whatever and put strings around, and then you start squirting dye colors all over it, and it turns out to be something completely different than, than what you started with. You're intending to have something different than what you began with. That's why you dye it. So that's what the word bapto was used. You know, if someone was going to make something, a cloth of a different color, they would bapto it or submerge it into the color dye so it would take upon itself the nature of that color, that dye color. Now, there are three elements to baptism when we're using the word baptism. There is the baptizer, there is the one being baptized, and there is the element that one is baptized into. Okay, so, you know, for a garment, for the sake of the changing of a garment, the color of a garment, the baptizer would be the tailor or whoever is working with the cloth. They would be the baptizer. The cloth would be the thing being baptized or whelmed with the color dye. The dye would be what the element that would be it would be immersed into. All right. So, but here's the baptism that saves you. I've actually printed it out on the screen, I guess, so you don't need to look it up. But this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, and it says this: "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." Now here it describes very clearly who is the baptizer. Remember, there's the three elements: the baptizer, the one being baptized, and the element one is baptized into. It describes it all here. "For what by one Spirit we were all baptized." So it's the Spirit of God who is the baptizer in this situation. The one being baptized is we as believers. We are the ones being baptized, and the element that we are being baptized into is not water in this sense. Too frequently we just associate water with baptism, and there's a good reason for that, but it's not just water. It's to be whelmed with some kind of element. And in this situation, the element that we are whelmed with or into is the body of Christ. So when a person is born again, or when a person embraces Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, that is the baptism that saves them. The Spirit of God baptizes them into the body of Christ. Can you say amen? Do you understand? So it's not a water baptism that saves you. When we are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, which happens when we are born again by the Spirit into the body of Christ, that is when one is saved. That is the baptism that saves you. However, there is a symbolism that we follow up with then, which is a water baptism, and we can see what water baptism symbolizes, starting in Romans chapter 6. And verses 3 through 6. Romans 6, starting with verse 3, says this: "Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. So what this says, first of all, is that we were baptized into Jesus' death. Okay, when we were baptized into Jesus' death. So in other words, there is a death in baptism. There is a death in the baptism that saves us when we give up our own lives. We say, okay, it's not me anymore, it's you and me. There is a death symbolized in water baptism. And what do you do with someone that dies? You bury them. Okay, so it says we are buried with him in baptism, and we are united with him in the likeness of his death. That's the symbolic nature of putting the person underwater. It's like we're symbolizing one who has died, they're put to death, and or they're not put to death, they die, and so they are buried as a result of their death. So a person who has said, you know what, when Jesus died on the cross, I was with him in his death. He died for me. He paid the price for my sin. And so in his death, I died with him. And so now I am acknowledging my identification with Jesus Christ in his death. Okay, well, what do you do with a person who has died? You bury them. And so we are buried with him in baptism. And that's why we put a person under water, symbolism of putting them in the grave. United with him in the likeness of his death. However, we never have, to this date, left anyone under the water. Because Jesus, what did Jesus do? Did he stay in the grave? No, he did not. He raised from the dead. And so in the likeness of his resurrection, we're united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. And so we are raised up together with him. United with him in the likeness of his resurrection. Okay, so that's the symbolism of a water baptism that describes what happens when a person gives their life to Christ, or when they choose to die to Christ, saying, it's not my life anymore, it's yours, Lord. I'm going to live my life for you. I'm embracing Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, the one who saved me from my own death, from my sin, from my separation from God. So we unite ourselves or identify ourselves with him in his death and his burial and his resurrection. So let's talk then about living with dying, and I'll have you turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 3 through 10. I'm just going to start with 3 through 9 and then put a few graphics up. Colossians 3:3. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other. You have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Okay, so first again, it says here, you died to this life. And in baptism, that's what we're doing. We're identifying ourselves with Jesus and his death. And so that's what we're saying. I'm dying to my own life. And so it says to it in response to that, dying to our own life, it says put to death the sinful earthly things that are lurking within you. In other words, again, putting to death the old self. You're not going to live the same old sinful way that you used to. That's a response to baptism. That's a response to saying, I've identified myself with Jesus in his death. I have died to that old sinful nature, that nature of sin lurking within me that's wanting to destroy me in my life. I'm saying no to that. I'm dying to that. I'm not going to let that live in me anymore. And it says it's time to get rid of anger, rage, and malicious behavior. In other words, we're taking upon ourselves a different kind of nature. It's like being dyed something different than what we began with. And that is that nature of, again, that anger, malicious behavior, rage, that's going to change. The intent is to become conformed to the image of Jesus, who did not express that kind of attitude or that kind of behavior. And then in verse 10, we'll go ahead and read verse 10. Lost my place here just a second. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. All right, so we want to die to die. We want to D-I-E die to D-Y-E die. In other words, we want to experience that change that this verse is talking about. To put on the new nature means we're becoming something different. We're taking upon ourselves the nature of that which we were dyed into or baptized into. We were baptized into the nature of Jesus. We were baptized into His nature, into His life. And so the life that we live now is not our own. It's His life being expressed through us. And again, that's how we are changed from glory to glory. That's how we are changed to express His nature and His character within us. And being renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. We want to take upon ourselves a new nature. Now sometimes, you know, as I kind of jokingly, you know, talked about being buried with Christ, you know, sometimes the question comes up, you know, would it help if we just held a person down under a little bit longer, you know, for them to realize, you know, that this really does mean death to me, you know, when they start questioning, will I live? Will I really, really continue to live physically, or are they putting me to death? And, you know, like I said, we joke about that. We have never done that. I don't think we've never put anyone down and just held them long enough to maybe consider whether that we'd let them back up or not. But the point of it is, we're not the ones who would be able to put a person to death. See, it's got to be the person themselves that is saying, I am dying to my old life. You know, if they chose to stay under, they would have to just stay there themselves, not because we could hold them under. You cannot get anyone saved. You cannot get anyone to change the color of their dye. It has to be the person themselves that is choosing to make this decision that, you know, I it's not me living anymore. It's Christ living in me. It's not my life anymore. I am dying to that old nature. I am taking upon myself the nature of Christ. And in this death, which sometimes I think we really do need to consider, you know, is, did I really die when I became a Christian? Or am I just trying to add that little bit of, oh, that blessing of, oh, I'm going to heaven instead of hell? You know, are we just trying to add that to the life that we want to continue to live on our own instead of saying, you know, I really have died to myself? And so, you know, here's another thing that, you know, that I think that we need to understand or embrace when we're talking about baptism, and specifically water baptism as following up after a person has chosen to make Jesus their Lord and their Savior. When is the appropriate time to be baptized? Because I understand this, that the children, you know, as you understand, our belief in this church is to wait with baptism until a person has receive Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Because from my perspective and my understanding of the Scripture, you cannot take a child and say, you have died in Christ. To me, that they need to